I'd like to share with you a reading from Reverend Damanjit of the Tree of Life Interfaith Temple. She posted on Facebook, not where I usually get readings. She says, "Are you my mother? The Buddhists have a wonderful way of practicing compassion based on the premise that after being reborn over the course of infinite lifetimes, at one time or another, we were all each other's mother. I've always loved this idea, and it was with that mindset that I wandered around Market Basket yesterday. I have to say that I've had many magical experiences in Walmart, which have taught me that meaningful moments are not a function of place. They are a function of our state of mind, our state of being, our consciousness. It's amazing how much more we see other people when we come from the place of connection. Are you my mother? It always gives me a feeling of openness, groundedness. Time almost stands still when I'm navigating the aisles, wanting to spend time exploring rather than wrangling my way through trying to get around and past. It teaches me that encounters happen without words. They happen with a smile, a nod, eye contact. They happen when our heart is open so wide we can't help but exude love, compassion, and healing presence. I did have a great exchange in Market Basket with Tyler, a young man who's worked there for 19 years and proud of it. And if that wasn't enough, when I walked through the parking lot back to my car, a young lady named Becky, who I had seen inside, told me she loved my Thai yoga pants. I told her where she could get them, and we took a picture together. Are you my mother? 1 Corinthians 3:16 of the King James Version of the Bible says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Swami Muktananda puts it this way, "God dwells within you as you." Different spiritual traditions remind us to know that we are all a part of that cosmic, universal creative force that some call God. And not only are we a part of that universal whole, but that whole creative spirit lives in us. Rumi says, "You are not a drop in the ocean. You are the whole ocean in a drop." God dwells within you as you. We're each completely individual and unique expressions of that creative force, of course. But we are both literally and spiritually one. And if it isn't hard enough to accept that you are divine, once we get past that, we have to see God in everyone, even people we don't really like very much. Even people who refuse to see the truth. Now, as you use, we don't have a common creed or truth or dogma, but we do share some basic values as expressed in our seven principles. We believe in the democratic process, for example, and in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, even those we don't really like very much. Perhaps truth is like a multifaceted crystal. We admire the beauty of the facet. We stand by polishing it and admiring it, drawing together with others who also admire our bit of the truth. We cannot possibly admire or respect the facet on the other side of the crystal. We can't see it from where we're standing. It's just too far out there. Perhaps the whole of truth has 240 separate facets, all perfect and beautiful to those who stand before each one. Can we step back far enough, I wonder, to see the whole? Can we see God in everyone? I mean, everyone. In the words of the early UU Reformist minister and transcendentalist Theodore Parker, my connection with the sacred is only as precious as my willingness to acknowledge the same connection in others. This is an oldie but goodie, and it's worth sharing again. A Southern Baptist was sitting next to a UU on a plane, and he said, "I heard that you deny the divinity of Jesus." "No," replied the UU, "we don't deny the divinity of anyone. Each person's unique gifts are precisely what is needed to complete a grand cosmic tapestry. We can't see the whole design, but the colors that each contributes is essential to the beauty of the whole." I wonder if it might change the limit of our sight when viewing the truth if we practiced seeing God in everyone. I mean everyone. An amazing thing happens when you practice seeing God or your mother or the ocean or the deity of your choice in everyone that you meet. When you look into their eyes and see their divinity, they're able to look in your eyes and see their own divinity reflected back. And it can be transforming. I had an older friend who was extremely self-deprecating. Her living situation was such that the person she had to spend the most time with was someone who only saw her, only reflected to her that she was a burden without value. And she, as we are wont to do, easily accepted this reflection of herself as truth. But I kept telling her she was looking in the wrong mirrors. She needed only to look in my eyes and in the eyes of all of her friends here at UUCM and see that she was a unique expression of the divine, full of wisdom and knowledge, compassion and warmth, commitment and caring. See God in everyone, and they might be able to see their own divinity. This is how we change the world one heart at a time. I see you. I know you. You're a part of me. There's a reason that Nancy and I have done this first service in September together year after year. We enjoy working together and singing together and have become very good friends. And we're willing to do it. All good reasons. But there's another reason. Our working together in itself is a model of how UUs don't have to believe the same truths in order to work together in beloved community for the benefit of all. I believe in the divine spirit and God goddess of many names. Nancy identifies as a humanist. We'll demonstrate for you how this works in a little song.
reading is from Mahatma Gandhi. We but mirror the world. All the tendencies present in the outer world are to be found in the world of our body. If we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a man changes in his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change toward him. This is the divine mystery supreme. A wonderful thing it is, and the source of our happiness. We need not wait to see what others do. As Gandhi says, it's a matter of perspective. What's outside is inside, and vice versa. Change is sometimes frightening, but it is reflected in our outlook in the same way that love is, or anger is, or hope is. You know how I love art. So let's see how artists have helped us see change as a mirror that connects our inside reflection and our outside perception. Sometimes it's as easy as following the reflection in clear water. Everything seems to be in its place and full of color, as Franklin Carmichael shows us in his painting, Mirror Lake. It's almost too perfect, but it's marvelous and reassuring to see perfection in what's around us. Pablo Picasso is more direct in his Girl Before a Mirror. What if the world sees us differently than we see ourselves, he seems to say. What's inside may be masked by what's outside. And then there is Manet's wistful bar at the Folies Bergère. The barmaid sees her place in the world as a mirror in which she offers refreshment that she herself doesn't enjoy. The entertainment goes on behind her, and the bottles stack up in front of her. Manet seems to suggest that the joie de vivre of others is not necessarily a reliable perspective for the woman who appears to be in an unequal relationship to the worldview around her. And then Magritte's The False Mirror. His surrealism tells us that looking inside while looking outside can distort the perspective a bit, but if we keep our eyes open, we see the world for what it is. Rather than end on a gloomy note, I offer us Giuseppe Arcombolgo's portrait with vegetables. It's really just a matter of looking at things the other way around, and all is obvious. If you feel a little like you could be in any one of these paintings, as our year of searching begins in earnest, remember that we have each other as ways to reflect and process our feelings and worries. We just have to look both ways before crossing the street. We can see what is good, but not perfect in us. What we look like to ourselves and how we will look to a ministerial candidate. How we stand at the bar of our values, sometimes sadly thinking that the worldview we see around us is not the one we would like to serve, and how we have to look forward and outside our comfortable way of doing church to see how we might grow by thinking outside the box. And always, we should look for a little humor when things get stressful for us. For this year, we will learn a lot about ourselves. And we, next May or June, will step into a new stage of our history here at Milford. How we look at the world is how the world looks at us. And the metaphor of the mirror is a handy one to help us find our way as individuals and as a congregation. Our kids used to try to get the cats to see themselves in a mirror, and the poor animals always ignored the mirror or seemed uncomfortable. Animals don't see themselves. They see a rival or a friend in the glass. Human beings are rational creatures, and have the gift of self-reflection. So we see ourselves in mirrors of all kinds, but what do we really see? A reversed image of what we understand ourselves to be right at that moment? A mirror doesn't show us 10 or 40 years ago. It doesn't show us what we were or could be, but what we seem to be right now physically. It shows us our outside, not our inside. And that's a mighty limiting viewpoint. But a mirror offers us a reference for perspective, a way to reflect on what it is and what it reflects back to us, whether we like what we see or not. It's just a tool in a long process of living our lives with an acute awareness that time passes. That's the burden of the rational mind. Cats just live and concentrate on the immediate. We ponder the continuum of past, present, and future. Right now, UUCM is in the process of looking into its mirror. It is both a healthy and a necessary step for us. And if we take the time and have the patience to do a good job of reflection, we'll be ready for the step we'll make to a new settled ministry next year. We need to know where we've been as a congregation, what lessons we've learned as a community, the needs and wants and hopes of the individuals who together make us a fellowship, and the focus of our shared ideas about what we want to be together 5 years from now. That's a big task, and one we must do completely and well. For to trivialize or skip steps in the process will leave us looking into our collective mirror like a cat does, disconnected from the grounding perspective that connects our common history and hopes. Think of what we lose if we leave out even one personal reflection in the larger mirror that makes up us. We miss the answer to the question why each time we make assumptions about individual viewpoints rather than ask for direct feedback. That's why the search committee is asking you to be patient and do the process thoughtfully, to contribute your perspective and voice, to listen to others and see yourself as part of a close community with hopes and needs and plans and decisions to make. As Gandhi said, you mirror the congregation, so let's celebrate what we have together while we anticipate some changes that are both significant and promising. The survey that is ongoing is critically important. If you've not yet taken it, please, please do that. Your name isn't collected, but your sincere reflection on your experiences and your hopes is. How is the search committee going to know what to look for if you don't tell us what's important to you? Focus groups help us so much, too, for we listen to you as you reflect in community rather than in the mirror that is your computer screen. We hear what has meant most to you, what you value, what you long for, what you will compromise, what you need to feel safe, stimulated, spiritually whole and strong. If you haven't participated in one, grab a cup of coffee and a cookie or a muffin and join us for half an hour in conversation about what we should be looking for to shape our future. You can fill out a survey this morning, too. Kathy Goldwater and I are here to take the time to listen and collect your thought. So please join us in the fireside room, chat, and get busy with a pen and express your ideas. I'm not on the search committee looking for a new minister for me. I'm looking for the best fit for all of us. All 7 of us on the search committee feel that way. We're your eyes and ears in this careful process of reflection, assessment, and planning. Actually, the next steps of creating a congregational image out of all this individual reflection is perhaps easier than the vitally important work we're doing right now as we listen to each of you and to groups of you who work together for us in many ways, forming special long-lasting bonds and building a legacy of achievement and commitment. We want candidates to know us just as we want to get to know them. Bonds aren't easy to maintain if you don't pay attention constantly and consistently. Love that lasts is a bond that depends on the quality of attention you pay to it. Let's pay attention to ourselves as a congregation very thoughtfully this fall. Let's look at each other and our communal relationship as though we are seeing ourselves in a mirror that is wide and deep, with each of us reflected in the whole image we see of UUCM. Listening is as important as reflecting. It is the bridge between the inside and outside ways of reflecting. You have your own experiences and ideas, but you process them better by listening to how they come together with other people's memories and hopes. If we become more effective listeners, we enrich the image we build in the world of what we are together. In a polarized world where people seem to have stopped listening to each other, we can turn to a community of acceptance and caring and know that the mirror is our shared investment and will let us see what is heartfelt, honest, and enduring. Remember that even though it can be confusing or stressful, searching is a hopeful activity. As Voltaire said, the mirror is a worthless invention. The only way to truly see yourself is in the reflection of someone else's eyes. And that's why we show up here every week, isn't it? I've left my order of service. Is it time to sing a hymn? No, I covered.